This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Hey, Barrett Jones, how you doing, man?
Plus 50, Brown?
I mean, yep.
Somebody
yep.
had too
Alabama,
much to fan.
Alabama. Alabama. It will destroy LSU. LSU has packed it in. They don't have a quarterback. They don't have any receivers left. Their pass defense is terrible. Alabama throws the ball as good as anybody in the country. And they got revenge on their minds. They will destroy LSU.
Well, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm calling the game, so I'm hoping that we at least get some semblance of a fight.
Have some show prep.
50, come on. That's a little far. This is still Bama okay. LSU. Like, I think they're going to show a little pride.
All right, call me after the game. I'll be awake.
Well, Barrett, you played for Nick Saban. Does he seem like a guy? I mean, you saw what happened after LSU wins the game last year. I mean, Ed Orgeron had the entire field or the entire team in the middle of the field saying, this is our house, we own this place, and then you saw the locker room celebration. Do you think Nick Saban tries to prove a point, knowing that he really could name his score if he wants to?
Well, look, Nick Saban, you got to understand, and y'all know this about him, he's one of the most strategic guys I've ever been around. He's very I'll give you an example. He always tells us to never listen to the media, you know, don't pay any attention to what they're saying, until the media says one thing negative about us, and then he points it out. So, you know, he wants us to hear what can favor him and what he thinks can get their mind in the right place. So, you know, I think he's all about telling the players what they need. So, on one hand, will he absolutely say this is like any other week and yada yada and give his whole spiel about it's about the process? Yes, he will absolutely do that, which, by the way, it's a great spiel. I'm not meaning to minimize it. But on the other hand, will he maybe sneak in a few comments about, you know, these guys disrespected us last year? Maybe. Yeah, he might. So it would not put it past him. And, you know, I think that when you're playing in a rivalry game like this, we've seen a few times before that there's no ever reason to call the dogs off. Like, that's just I believe that about league games in general. Like, I don't care if you're playing Vanderbilt. I don't think there's really ever a reason where you have to call the dogs off if you're playing in league play. Now, if you're playing a small team, it's not clearly overmatched, then yes. So, yeah, I do think they'll try to put up a bunch of points and, you know, kind of the revenge tour. They certainly completed part one, I think, on Saturday, and they got part two coming.
Listen, I've covered a lot of LSU-Alabama games since I've covered them all since Nick Saban's been there. And those have been monumental games. I can't think of a position group that LSU is equal to or better than Alabama across the board this year. Can you?
Well, there's a reason for that. It's because they don't have one. No, I mean, I don't know. Let me think about it. I don't know a whole lot about their specialists this year.
Yeah, so. But the reason I say that is I don't think there's been a game we've played since Nick got to Tuscaloosa and LSU's been good that he built down there that you can say that.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I mean, I would say maybe like punter kicker would be the only, if you call that a group. You know, so I don't even know. I haven't looked at their punter kicker, even though our kicker's been pretty good this year, so. I think you're right. It's definitely it's an unfair matchup, and I think that Alabama is. Coach Saban and you guys probably know this because you're close enough to the program. Like, he said all the right things. He was mad. He was frustrated. I think that this game was not played the first time around, and so I think even if he needed any extra motivation, which certainly he didn't, but I think that probably that's on his mind as much as last year is. That he's frustrated that this game wasn't played, you know, the first time around, and so he's going to make sure that LSU remembers that as well.
Barrett Jones is with us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. He'll be on the call of Alabama-LSU. Do Barrett a favor. I mean, he puts a lot of work into this, so when it hits in the 50s in the second half, stick with the broadcast. Just listen to him. He's a
yeah.
pro.
Yeah, if you want to hear great talk radio, because like that's for some reason we just had terrible games this year, and it's there's. Complicated and there's a lot of, you know, broadcast rights and all that stuff, but and it's we've had mostly ESPN games because of the different camera angles we're able to get. This is an exception. This will be our first CBS game of the year, which we will only have the TV angle, which is going to be very interesting, by the way, to call the game off that. Stick with it, and you know, we like to have a little fun. We'll tell some jokes, tell some stories.
You'll need them.
You know, maybe it'll be fun. So And, hey, you can either watch Gary or listen to me.
Oh, that's a big choice.
After Saturday, I think Barrett is going to win that poll. I do want to ask you, who is because this Alabama offensive line is obviously really good. I'm not telling you something you don't know, but who is their best offensive lineman right now, you think?
Well, it's a good question. I mean, I think certainly Alex Leatherwood is, you know, their most talented offensive lineman. I mean, he's really, really good. I know he gave up a sack this week, but, man, he's a very good player, and I think he's got a shot, you know, to – I think he will be an All-American and perhaps even have a shot at the Outland Trophy. He's that kind of player. You know, but, man, Landon Dickerson is really fun to watch. I've really enjoyed watching him play center. He's really gotten a lot better. I think he's found a home there. He's really changed the attitude, in my opinion, of this line over the last, you know, kind of season and a half where they've got a little nasty to him now, and there's a lot of pride in that position group. Kyle Flood's done a really good job, and so I would say if you're going to make me pick, I'm going to at least narrow it down to those two guys who probably are playing the best football of not just anyone on the team, but maybe of anyone in the country. I think, you know, you can make an argument that both of those guys are going to be first-team All-Americans. It's going to be really interesting to see center-wise, because the center from Kentucky, Drake Jackson, he's a really good player too. And so I don't know which of those two guys will get the nod, but obviously a lot of times you maybe lean the better team. Which would obviously favor Landon Dickerson. But those are the two that are probably playing the strongest right now.
Barrett, I got to give you credit. Back in the day, I don't know, a month or so ago, when we were talking up Jalen Waddle, and who knows where he would be right now if he doesn't get hurt against Tennessee as maybe the best receiver in the SEC, you said, no, it's Devontae Smith. And Devontae Smith just continues to put up monster numbers without the compliment of Jalen Waddle. He's now got 35 career touchdowns. My question to you is, you played with some great wide receivers, and you've seen great wide receivers throughout Alabama. Is he the best of the bunch?
Well, look, first of all, LT, I'm just glad you're here today, because I know Brown wasn't going to ask that question. You know, Brown has been hiding from this for a long time. Now, Jalen Waddle got hurt, so I guess we'll never really know. But Devontae Smith is the best of the bunch. Man, I don't know. I mean, how do you compare all the Amari Cooper to Julio Jones to Jerry Jeudy? I mean, there's been so many good ones. But, man, he's playing at such a high level. Right? He just continues to amaze me, honestly, because I don't think that he's the most talented in the bunch, but he really seems like he's obviously still very talented. But I don't think he has, like, just the freakish talent in some ways that some of those guys we mentioned do. But, man, he just works so hard. He's such a great route runner, and he catches everything. It's unbelievable. You just throw the ball his way, and he finds a way to come down with it. And for such a small guy, too, he's very physical out in space, a good run-after-catch guy, and blocks well. There's not really anything he's not doing well right now. And so I love watching him just because, he's still, like, a super talented guy, so I'm not trying to paint him out to be, like, an everyman kind of guy. But I do think that he had to work a little harder to get where he is today, and you saw a little more of development from him from year one to where he is now, and he's gotten so much better every year, and so I love to watch him have success.
You've been on three national championship teams, so when you watch this Alabama team, do you see some DNA properties that show up that you say, that is the look, that is the makeup of a championship team?
Absolutely. You know, and I really, after I called the Ole Miss game, I was not saying that, I'll be honest. But I think that the way they respond to that adversity, like every good team has some games throughout the year where you have some adversity pop up. And what I've really liked about this team, you know, that I think there have been a few Alabama teams that I haven't seen this as much, is I just think that this team has better leadership. And I've said that on this show before, just when you have the kind of talent that Alabama has and you recruit in such a way, you're going to have an opportunity to win the national championship every year. And if I could boil it down to one thing that makes the difference, it's just the leadership. And you think back to the great Alabama teams, both of them have had guys who were great leaders and who really have encouraged the other guys around them. And so I think both sides of the ball this year have really good leadership, have guys that they're bringing other people up around them. There's a nice mix of young talent with experience. Guys who have been there, who have been in these kind of big games, that are kind of modeling and showing, you know, these guys how to get it done. And look, defensively, frankly, because I think we all knew that offense probably wasn't going to be the issue this year for Alabama. And no surprise, even after they lost Jalen Waddle, still the best offense in the country, in my opinion. It's not really that close. But defensively, they've just gotten so much better. And so many of these young guys have continued to improve. You look at a guy like Malachi Moore, who started the season, he played okay, but maybe a little bit of a liability in coverage, and now it turned into a strength out there at that star position. So there's a lot of guys like that on this defense who really have continued to improve and have gotten better, and it's really shown up.
All right, here Barrett on Saturday night. Baton Rouge, he'll be in his house, but it'll sound like he's in Baton Rouge. On ESPN Radio, Alabama and LSU, and should be an interesting game, I guess. I don't think so. But
that is, and by the way, yeah. Brownie, I don't know if I've told you all this, but just because of COVID and all the adversity, long story short, somehow this year I've become the lead analyst for NFL on ESPN Radio also, so I've been calling an NFL game every Sunday. And this Sunday, I was supposed to have an amazing game beginning of the season when I saw this. It was going to be Joe Burrow versus Tua. I have Bengals Dolphins. Now, we'll see if either one of those guys play, but obviously Joe Burrow's not playing. But
we can
rule him out, I think. We don't have to be Dan Graziano to break that story. So I'm excited about calling your Dolphins, and we'll see how it goes.
Defense is covering up a lot of offensive issues for the Miami Dolphins, but they're big favorites against the Bengals. And Tua, if he's healthy, is starting, according to Brian Flores. He banged his thumb on a helmet in practice on a throw, and that's why he did not play against the Jets. Though, I have a feeling if it had been anyone other than Jets, he would have played. But that's just my gut. So, we'll see.
Good. All right. I hope he does, because I'd love to get a chance to call him. It would be a lot of fun.
Double dip for Barrett. You're getting for Bama LSU and Dolphins Bengals. Listen to both of them. Thank you, Barrett. It's always fun talking with you.
Thanks, guys.
Sorry I talked Dolphins there, Dunaway. My apologies. Barrett on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline, an easy-drinking hard seltzer with 2 carbs and 100 calories. Try it in strawberry, lime, mango, black cherry, or grab the variety pack.